John chapter 8 and verse number 23. I did not think that I would be back here this morning. I really didn't. But as the Lord, I was studying yesterday and then late last night, and I woke up this morning and had a completely different thought in my mind, and then the Lord just settled my heart a little while ago, and I'm so very grateful to Him for that. Amen. John chapter 8, and we'll read down through verse number 30 from verse number 23. The Bible says, "And He said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto Him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say to judge of you, but He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him. They understood not that He spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. As He spake these words, many believed on Him." Heavenly Father, please help this morning. Lord, You know my insufficiencies. You know my discrepancies, Lord. You know me inside and out. Father, You know that I need You this morning. Lord, I believe that You are well able to allow me to preach. And I believe, Lord, that You will give me the right words to say, and You have already given me, Lord, what You want me to say. And I pray, God, that I would be obedient to say exactly what Your people need. Lord, I pray that I would exalt Your word, not my thoughts, not my opinions, but I would exalt Your word. Father, I pray that You would forgive me of my many sins, many shortcomings where I have failed You. Lord, let me be pure and holy before You today in front of these people and in front of You, Lord. God, I pray that if there be someone here that does not know You, Lord, that does not know that You are Him who the Scripture spoke of, Lord, I pray that today they would come to the saving knowledge of You, Lord, and their life would be eternally changed in this moment today. Have Your will in Your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've been looking here in John chapter number 8, and to be completely transparent with you, there are times that I feel like that, well, if I go back to John chapter number 8, that my people will get dull of hearing, because it seems like we spend a lot of time in these chapters, and then I have to remind myself that it's not me that you're here to hear, it's the Word of God. And so if that's not sufficient, then I don't know what is. Amen. If we ever take our focus off of that, we're in trouble. But in John chapter number 8, we have looked at the forgiveness of the adulterous woman. We have looked at Jesus proclaiming Himself the light of the world. And then we took a little break. And then last week we looked and we looked at verses 20 and 21 primarily. And then just touched just a little bit in 22. And I believe it was sufficient to convey, but now we'll start this week in verse number 23. And we do have to bear in mind that this is an ongoing discussion since John chapter number 5 that was a multi-day, multi-month discussion. You ever been around someone and you're having a good conversation with them, you're having a good discussion, or maybe you're not having a good conversation, but you are discussing some things, and every time you see that person, you might dabble for a minute in some small talk, but then you get right into the conversation that you were having before. That's what's happening here with the Lord Jesus Christ. For weeks, months, close to a couple years now, as we look at John, in the book of John, We're seeing the Lord Jesus have a conversation between himself and the Pharisees. And this conversation, Jesus has already stated everything that I'm preaching in John chapter number 8, Jesus has stated already in John 4, John 5, and John 6. We're reading the same thing. Jesus is having a conversation where he's having to restate himself over and over again to provide the truth. I like that Jesus did not back down. Now, let me say this. When I say Jesus is restating this, it doesn't mean that the words are repetitive that he's saying. He's telling them the same doctrinal truth as he has been since John chapter 5. He continues to teach them the same thing. Whether or not they're hearing him is up to them. We do see verses like verse number 30 where it says, "And as he spake these words, many believed on him." We see in other places in John 7, John 6, and John 5 where Jesus would speak and the Bible would record that people believed on him. And so the message did not change and people still kept believing. Amen? You understand what I'm saying there? Guess what, church? Our message does not change. Amen? We don't back down off of the gospel, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is that Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect, sinless life. He died cruelly on the cross at Calvary there. And after he died, he was buried in a tomb. And for 3 days, he was there. And then on the third day, the power of God, his own ability, he rose out of that grave. That's called the resurrection, amen. And shortly thereafter, he was seen by several hundred people. Then he ascended up into heaven and is now, that's where Jesus currently is seated at the right hand of the Father. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is amazing to me that someone could get up out of the grave. I am worried that Christians have heard that so much that we've become desensitized to what the Bible says. And that is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It wasn't just that his heartbeat slowed to a point where it was not detectable and he was asleep and just healing for a couple of days there in a dark, sealed tomb, I might add to you. Y'all remember that? How the Bible says that Pilate had them seal the tomb. They rolled the great stone in front of the door and he set the seal sure so that no one would steal the body and make him disappear and cause him to come back to life but not be seen. Jesus arose out of that tomb, removed that stone away. Amen. That stone that was sealed, he moved that out of the way and walked, amen, out of that grave that day and is now still victorious over death, hell, and the grave. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not trying to convince you of this morning. I'm trying to get you to understand and believe this gospel message. And if you will believe this gospel message that Jesus lived a perfect sinless life, died a cruel death, rose again on the third day, my Bible tells me that if you will believe that in your heart and confess Jesus as Lord of your life, that Jesus will save you from your sins. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't have anything to do with me. It doesn't have anything to do with my ability. It doesn't have anything to do with my strength, my power. It is all about Him and what He did on the cross of Calvary. And so, in looking at this, this is the message that Jesus is preaching. So now we're going to look in verse number 23. And I am not sure that we will make it all the way through, but I will preach until the Lord tells me to sit down and be quiet. I do realize that it is 5 to 12. I also know that tacos do not get cold when they're sitting on the bar. You okay? They have plenty of peppers for the fajitas. Amen. And the refried beans can be reheated. John 8 and verse number 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. In that one little verse there, Jesus established again the difference between himself and the Pharisees. I said a few moments ago is that we believe that we're enough, that we're sufficient, and so therefore we don't have anything to worship. Whereas the Lord Jesus Christ clearly explains to them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. He's trying to convey to them the need that they have. They are not enough. They are not good enough. They do not have enough to have salvation. They need Him. And the reason that they need Him is because they are from beneath. They are from this world. I realize it just got real, real quiet in the room. We're not much different than the Pharisees. We like to promote ourselves as different. We like to promote ourselves as better and greater. And oh, we wouldn't do the things that they did. Will we not? I believe that we're already guilty of those things. And so here Jesus tells these people, who by the way were the religious elites of their day. These guys were the preachers. These guys were the Sunday school teachers. These guys were the song leaders. These guys were the deacons. Y'all okay? Y'all getting real quiet on me all of a sudden. This was the people that attended church every single Sunday that Jesus is preaching to. These are the ones that knew the Scriptures inside and out. These are the ones that would quote Scripture to you when you're suffering and going through a difficult time. These were the people that were supposed to stand with someone when they were in trouble. These were the guys that thought they had everything figured out. And Jesus looked them square in the eye and says, you are from beneath and I'm from above. Ye are of this world and I am not of this world. This phrase shows the difference and the need from both the physical life and the spiritual life. And as far as their lives are concerned, the Pharisees and Jesus were literally worlds apart. The difference between beneath and above, or I could say it like this, the difference between hell and heaven is what was here. He had already, or he will in a little while, tell them, your father is the devil. And that doesn't sit very well with them either. They don't like that very much because they didn't believe that they were the child of hell or the ones who were fathered by the devil. They didn't believe that. They believed themselves to be of great value to the church because of what they had done, what they could do, and what they would produce there in the church house. They thought that they were indispensable in the economy of God. Jesus was completely different from us. God is not one of us. God will never be one of us. He understands us because we are created by Him. He knows us because we are in His image and we are in His form, but He is not like us. He is much greater than us and much wiser than us and much stronger than us and much better than us. You and I are not worthy of worship, but He is. The Lord is from above, and those who love Him are made to, as Ephesians says, sit in heavenly places. In Ephesians 1:3, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:19 and 20 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Ephesians 2 verses 4 through 7 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This is not so with lost people. This is not so with people who reject him as Lord and God of their life. They cannot produce salvation on their own, and we have a whole lot of people and a whole lot of religious places that preach that you produce salvation on your own, and they take verses of Scripture out of context and they use them for their own gain or fear-mongering or whatever it may be, and they try and tell people, if you just be good enough, you can go to heaven. If you just have this law, you can go to heaven. If you just preach this law, God will honor you. If you just sow a seed here, that's been heard a lot, hasn't it? If you just give a little here, God will honor you. Friend, he might honor your gift, but he's not going to honor you because you're not worthy of honor. Amen? You're sure enough not worthy of praise, but he's given to you grace and love. You cannot produce your own salvation. You are not good enough to keep the law. You do not have the ability to live out the law. You do not have the strength to meet the law. You need grace. The law, we've talked about this several times. I feel like I need to talk about it again this morning. I've often used the grocery store analogy, talking about them grapes, praise God. Man, I'm talking about when we pick up grapes at the grocery store, the bag is sealed till I get to the cash register. Why? Glad you asked. Y'all have heard it. Many of you have, but some of you hadn't. Them grapes are sold by weight. Well, I'm going to buy the bunch of them. Okay. But that one grape that you ingest that has everybody in the world's germs on it and hadn't been washed, and you put that in your body. I don't know why I got sick. Probably because you was eating a grape that every kid in the grocery store done touched. You deduct from the weight of that bunch. Oh yeah, we're talking about the law here. To the letter of the law. The law, if I can, says you buy the bunch of grapes in the weight of the entirety of whatever's in that bag. Uh-huh. But if you take one out of your shopping cart and you eat it, unless you're putting yourself up on the scale to get weighed for grapes, you're stealing. You're stealing. That's what it is. I know, it's simple. Oh, that shouldn't matter. No, maybe it shouldn't. But it does, because you agree to buy that by weight and not on your good intentions. Amen? You partake of that, you get that, and you say, hey, this is mine. I'm gonna do what I want to with it before you pay for that thing. And if you do that, with that bunch of grapes, you're stealing from that grocery store. And the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. See, we create the gray areas. The law is black and white. We mingle the two. Let me make it gray so it suits my needs right now. The law says, live out the Ten Commandments. You can't. We've already established that you've already stole something. And so if you've stolen something, thou shalt not steal. Now, therefore, you have broken one of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said that if you break one, you are guilty of them. Jesus said this concerning men and women, that if a man look on a woman and he lust after her, that he's committed adultery with her already in his heart. That's what Jesus said. That's not what I said. That's what Jesus said. And so that means that now not only am I guilty of theft, but I'm also guilty of adultery. Even the world despises adultery. And so when I see myself guilty, then I realize that I do not have the ability not to be guilty. I don't have the ability to produce. No amount of making it right, no amount of restitution, no amount of giving back will change the fact that I broke a law. But there is one that says, I have paid for your breaking of the law. And that's what we're seeing here in verses 23. We're not going to get past 24. But I got to talk about 24 before I leave this morning. It's not a matter of whether or not we think we are guilty. We are already guilty. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Lord has hanged on Jesus on the cross the guilt and the shame of each and every one of us. And as we see ourselves guilty and shame-filled and in a place where we cannot produce our own salvation, we have a great, merciful, wonderful God who says, I have went to the cross for you. I have died on the cross for you. I rose from the tomb for you. So that your guilt and your shame can be under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not under your works. All right, preacher, so why is verse number 24 so important today? Let's read it together. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Jesus now shows them the nature of their life and their need. And He alone can save men and women from their sins. Not us, not our ability, not anybody that we know. Only the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to save. And in the previous verse, Jesus had stated facts about them and Himself. And in those facts, He described Himself with two little words that if we're not careful, we will overlook. He described Himself with these two words, I am. That makes this passage very forceful, what we read here next, because Jesus says, if we believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Jesus is telling them the gospel. How do you know that? Romans 10, verse number 8 is where I'm going to start. I'm going to read it, and I know you hear me quote it, but I want to read it this morning. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus is telling them that He is the I Am that they should believe in. He is God in the flesh. He is able to save them. Look there in your Bibles, in verse number 24, you will find the word He is in italics. Do you know what that means? When we see a word in italics, that means it's slanted. Just a little bit. If you don't know what that means, I realize that we have some in here that you're not a Bible scholar, or you might not be as versed, and that's okay. That's why I'm here, is to teach you. So while I'm preaching, I'm trying my best to teach too. You see that word? It's in italics. Do you know why it's in italics? It's in italics because it was added by the translators to make our English language grammatically correct, so that we can understand. Y'all okay? That way when we read that, I am He, we understand that the I am is talking about Jesus and that He's having dialogue with them. There's nothing wrong with that being there. Y'all, this may shock you, stun you, or surprise you, but while Jesus was talking and while He was living, He wasn't just going down through there and stopping and going, hey, Matthew, chapter 8. Some of you get it, some of you won't. Things were added in there for them to be location and given to us so that we can knowledgeably read the Word of God and understand it. Amen? Amen.
I don't know any of you in here that speaks Hebrew or reads Hebrew. You might. I don't know anybody in here that speaks Greek or reads Greek. You might. I just don't know about it. But I will tell you this, if you would, I'm going to let you go back to Tectus Receptus and we'll go through it together. Amen? What I'm trying to get you to understand is there was something that was placed there to make it grammatically correct for you and I. And so he says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Can I read that without that italic statement there? I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Jesus is stating that he is God. In the book of Exodus, when Moses needed to know, who do I tell Pharaoh has sent me to lead the Hebrew children out of bondage, God told him, you tell him, I am. Jesus here in this passage of Scripture is unequivocally aligning himself and proclaiming himself as God when he says, I am. Oh, it's easy to overlook, but it's great that we don't overlook it. The consequence of not believing who Jesus is dying in your sin. He tells that in the first part of verse number 24. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sin. Romans 3 verses 25 through 28 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You are not justified by what you do. You are justified by believing on Christ and Christ alone. The law was not enough to save the Pharisees. And you living the law or trying to live the law is not enough to save you either. John 3:7, the Bible says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There's nothing else that will do. We may call Jesus great. We may call Him a good man. We may even establish that He is a prophet. But until we call Him God, we miss the mark of who Jesus is. Jesus' message never changed. I'll do verse number 25 and then I'll be done. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. From the beginning. Which beginning? The very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. John 1:14 said, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the same. Hebrews 13 says the same yesterday, today, and forever. For all of eternity, Jesus is unchangeable and is well able to save you this morning. Now, if you're here and you've seen yourself guilty for the very first time, the way to get out from under that guilt is to carry it to the Lord Jesus. Talk with Him. There are no right words to say. There are no right way to convey it. David poured his heart out to the Lord. I don't know what all he said. But I know he completely exhausted himself of himself and let the Lord work in his heart. What about you this morning? Are you guilty? Are you shame-filled? Are you carrying this load of unforgiveness? Why don't you bring it to the cross and let the Lord help you? Are you lost and undone without Jesus? If you died today, do you not know that heaven is your home? Not because you've done something good, not because you've produced good works, but because you have put the measure of faith that God gave you into His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him alone. Father, we bless Your holy name. I thank You for giving me another opportunity to stand here and to proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." I pray, God, that if there be someone listening that does not know You, that they would be saved today. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You would have Your will and Your way. I pray, Lord, that if there be anyone that has just grown cold and indifferent, maybe backslid on You, God, that they would come to a place where they again find the joy of salvation. Lord, would You move this morning? Have Your will in Your way. Would You stand with us this morning while we sing?
Page 44.